My name is Les Gay from the Barnard English Department, Elena Foley and Aleta Arena. And I want to begin by saying that this workshop on women's revolutionary usage of language is the daughter of a session from last year that Elena Foley and Katie Campbell collaborated on. It was called The Literature of Traditional and New Forms of Women's Communal Existence. And one of the ideas that came up during that particular discussion is the role of language in feminist resistance to masculine cultural authority. So we organized this workshop around that central idea. Language, you know, only to remember your as you like it, has often been in literature as a new continuum of power, resistance, and change. In that respect, I would disagree with Margaret Atwood that language exists to proclaim self-using as human reclaiming. Rosalind not only in as you like it, tests her lover, criticizes the status quo, and in an act of social agency brings about the marriages of the clothes by means of her verbal power. But she also acts as a literary critic. She eventually gets her boyfriend to stop mailing those terrible poems to the priest. She also, as a literary critic, devising the Elizabethan poetic tradition of female idolatry by insisting that new love must incorporate tension and change and must situate itself in a social context. So Helene and I are going to arrange ourselves on one side today. We're going to speak for the literary critics who use poetry as an instrument of resistance. And both of us plan to look at female responses to patriarchal poetic modes and uncover the ways in which female poets criticize masculine linguistic poems and ideological traditions. Helene is going to speak on Sappho's revision of Homer's epic heroism, and I will discuss female subversion of the masculine funeral origin. Electra Arenal is going to speak on the actual politicization of language by contemporary Latin American women writers in the collective form of the testimonial. And as Aneka put it to me this morning, she said, you and Helene will speak on women's revolution and uses of language, and I will speak on women's use of language and revolution. So we hope to put on the table in front of you today the real issues, the real problematics of the scholarly feminist conference, which is, you know, politics and academics, and I'll hand it over to you, and some people would say a problem of getting over. And what happens in this poem, I think, and she has said elsewhere in another poem, a woman is her mother, that's her main thing, and seemingly she had difficulties with separating during this process. But what is interesting to me here is the way that she kind of deconstructs, and I would say that the division of parts is a deconstructive elegy, but somewhere in Africa that work at next is reconstructed, in the sense that it offers an alternative scenario. But in this one, she lays the death of her mother, Mary Gray, extremely excruciating, painful, graphic death by cancer, against the Lenten season, the notion of Christ's passion in the poem. The two things are sort of happening at parallel moments. And what Sexton is straining to do is to be able to absorb and use the imagery of Christ suffering for very good reason, and whose suffering will ultimately be subsumed in his transcendental movement upward. Since Catholicism was the religion that she inherited from her mother, she has all the zealotry of the lax Catholic, she wants very much to be able to use that imagery. And I think that imagery is particularly masculine. Also, it has to do with the elegy, because that famous formula the pattern of the elegy is, yes, this person who was once among us is dead. Lycidas, your sorrow is not dead, you probably remember. He is sunk low, but mounted high. Okay, and that's the wonderful phrasing of that paradox. He's dead to us on earth, but he is mounted high in the sense that he will now be among the blessed saints in heaven. So that pattern, that Christ-like pattern of dead to us as a man, but resurrected so that he might sit at the right hand of the Father, is a pattern that really underlies the elegy as well. In the beginning of the poem, of course, she's resisting the whole notion of, it begins on Good Friday, she's resisting the whole notion of the mother's death, and there's a great deal of denial that goes on in the early parts of the poem. She is an unwilling inheritor. I do not know how to use your coat in my closet. I guess the sisters are gathered together to divide up this all the mother's things. And she says, your coat in my closet, your bright stones on my hand, the gaudy fur animals. I do not know how to